I got some shows coming up, man. New Year's Eve, West Hollywood, headlining two shows at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. with some of my personally hand-picked favorite comedians in L.A. opening up the show. I kind of want to say it like one of those like kind of like she restaurants, you know, handcrafted comedians, handcrafted artisanal comedians. if you guys are in LA and want to see me rock out with my friends and want to hang out and drink and have a good time and bring in 24, you guys can get tickets at, I'm gonna spell out the link. You guys can get tickets at wehonye.eventbrite.com. It's basically WeHo New Year's Eve .eventbrite.com. So you guys can get tickets for that. And then, you know, for my East Coast peoples, I will be headlining in New York City at City Vineyard on Thursday, January 18th. We're gonna have a good time with that one. And then for my Midwest folks, Columbus, Ohio, The Attic, February 3rd. Be headlining there in Columbus, Ohio on a Saturday. So be sure you get tickets if you were in any of those areas. Like I realize it's a lot for me to ask somebody, you know, in like San Diego, like, hey, come to my show in West Hollywood. I realize it's a lot for me to be like, oh, you're in Chicago, you're in Detroit, come to Columbus, Ohio. But I don't think it's a lot for me to ask people in Boston and Philly and DC to come to my show in New York City. I just don't feel this. It's going to be a very magical, special evening. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to get a lot off my chest. It's going to be beautiful. Anyways, all that promo out the way. I'm home for the holidays. And when I say I'm home for the holidays, I don't mean, you know, I'm in the Bay Area, I'm in Oakland, I'm where I spent my formative years. I mean, I'm home. I'm staying in LA for the holidays. This is my first Christmas in LA since I was a kid. This is my first Christmas not returning to Oakland. That fucking hellscape of demonic energy. I just want to say, if you not coming home for the holidays for non-financial reasons, don't feel bad about it for a fucking second. Your life is too good to waste it on a fucking ungrateful bitches. I almost said it was too, you don't want to waste it in ungrateful bitches, but that would be a whole different type of podcast, which I've made plenty of those podcasts before. I'm not going to be like, let me tell you something, King, okay? Your good energy is too important to waste being in ungrateful bitches, okay? You need to be inside some grateful bitches. I've done plenty of those fucking alpha male podcasts. Nah, man, for me, like, outside of my mom, I really have no reason to return. And she lives less than 30 minutes from the airport, so think we need, like, I live like an hour from LAX. I live probably about like an hour or so also from a Bob Hope airport. I don't like calling it Burbank, I like calling it Bob Hope. It feels like more like old timey, especially the way you get on the airplanes. Like, I think they only have like a few little those like little Lyle. This is not your fucking autistic transportation podcast that you've been dying to make. I'm sorry. I just like calling it Bob Hope. If you fucking go there, you'll see why. No, but it's not a lot that I miss. Cause like the only things. I mean, obviously, my mom's not a fucking thing, asshole. No, but the things that I, you know, outside of seeing my mom, the things that I miss from going back to the Bay Area, it's only a few things. It's being the big dog with two G's on the local comedy shows. It's girls being excited to see me Because the girl, like, even if I don't end up fucking the chick, like, she's still excited to see me. Because the Bay Area has, like, the same people out and about every night, and everybody knows each other. So, like, just being like, oh, it's a new guy. What is Lyle? Oh, Lyle isn't here. He must be doing good things. And it's like, I am doing great things. Like, if you fucking follow my Instagram or see my YouTube, like, you could tell that I do fucking great things. Or you listen to this podcast, you would fucking know that. But it's like, it's also the fact, though, that, like, I'm not there, you know? Because if you in the Bay, I'm not saying, like, you ain't about shit, but I'm just saying, you're probably booking a lot of flights if you are about something. But that's cool to be wanted. And then it's just like, it's just seeing a few friends. Mainly Phil and Jason. Those are my two. And I got other friends I like to see, but they can just be, you know, they can be like a little, they can just be a little difficult. You got some friends where it's like, all right, you're bringing too much dad energy, or you're bringing too much, like, you're making it clear to me that you, like, dude, I'm here. This is fucking special, okay? This is why you haven't found love. Like, I like the friends where it's like, they're just real. That was way too fucking harsh. I didn't need to say it. I'm sorry. But but Phil and Jason are, like, the two, like, easy. Like, I don't have, like, a lot of easy hangs left in the Bay Area. So outside of all that, the appeal really just isn't there for me anymore. Like, I remember, I asked this I won't say his name because I'm about to talk some shit. Not about the comic, about the conversation we had. I asked this comic that started in Northern California and now lives in LA. I asked him if he was doing Tommy T's, and Tommy T's is a comedy club in Pleasanton, if you don't know. Real quick, Tommy T's, just for the backstory for people that don't know, Tommy T's is the comedy club in the Bay Area where they get all the 90s Def Jam niggas, they get all the fucking, anybody that's like very on the urban side, older, they got all the country niggas, they got all the country coons, you know, they get all the, you know, they get the legends, you know, you have your Cedric the Entertainers, Sinbad Before the Stroke, he played there a lot because he had a good relationship with the owner, Tommy. Excuse me. Like, you had your share of legends, you know, come through. D.L. Hughley. I pulled up on Faison Love there, you know. I know Faison. Cool. I've always had good interactions with Faison, I'll say that. So, yeah, it's like, that's the play. But they're not getting, like, you know, the young, you know, they're not getting, like, a, like, say, like, a Michael Che or Jermaine Fowler. Like, they don't, because, you know, they're, like, it's weird because it's a club that's, like, in the suburbs, but it's pleasant in the suburbs. Like, it's in the suburbs, but at the same time, like, you have, like, rowdy niggas, rowdy Mexicoons, rowdy coons. You got the snow coons. You get, like, rowdy, you get, like, rowdy suburban white people, and it's just, like, a cacophony of fuck shit. But the thing about it, and Samuel Bay said this about Tommy T's, is, like, if you can get everybody in the room to laugh, you're really, you're ready to go out on the road. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're the most creative comedian, but it means, like, you're ready to go out on the road. And I would actually agree with that statement. I think there's, like, a lot of things that, I mean, first off, I think a lot of comedy scenes hype themselves up like, yeah, we got this, we got that. Or, you know, it's like, if you can handle this, you're really something. It's like, I remember this one comic talk about, never mind, I'm going to go off on a tangent. Anyways, that's Tommy T's in a nutshell. So, for the type of club that is, and you guys will find out more later. But I asked this comic that started in NorCal and now lives in LA. I asked him, like, hey, you going up to do a Tommy T's again within the year? And he said, I feel like something always happens when I do Tommy T's. Like, just, there's something just always happens with the weekend. I'm just like, another thing. Which I could relate to, because it's a shit show of a club. They really are more of like a bar and grill first, a pyramid scheme second, a free parking lot third, and a comedy club fourth. Like, all the, like, I had so many, I remember, like, I was doing, like, an audition to get weekend work there? Because if you a comic starting out, like your goal is weekend work. Like working a weekend at a comedy club is the most. It's your first step into being a professional working comedian, is working weekends. So anyway, so I did like I hosted the Sunday show for Willie Barcina. It was again, good had a good interaction with him. I just named two comedians, Faison Love and Willie Barcina, that a lot of comics have had issues with. And like this isn't me like talking out of school. Like it's documented on the internet. Like comics have had, like Willie Barcina. I think he punched. Wait, maybe I shouldn't say that. No. I want to say he stole on Carlos Mencia, or maybe that was George Lopez. I can't. Whatever. But I think comics have had issues with these guys. But like I had great interactions with both those fellas. Like, so just, but I'm also like a comic that some people would maybe say is an asshole. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said for that. But anyways, so I'm doing the Sunday show with Willie, super nice, funny comic, and show's over, and they're like, okay, cool, yeah, you're passed. And I'm like, I don't get paid for this shit. Like, what the fuck? It's like, dude, it's a fucking, like, it's not like I was booked by, like, an outside promoter. Like, I was booked by the club, or the club told me, like, hey, come through, host this show, and I didn't get paid for that one. I was like, this is some fucking bullshit. Then there was, a time I was doing, like, a weekend there at Tommy T's, and I remember, I was doing a weekend, and it was Cody Woods was headlining, and I was hosting, and I remember, During that weekend, the GM, who's very personable. I hate the way they do business, but she's got a good personality. She sent us a group text, and she was asking us if we could get people out because ticket sales were low. And it's like, you don't fucking ask openers that. And by the way, this may be something for people that don't know the comedy world well. Like, well, you own a show. Ain't you supposed to bring people? No, nigga. That is for headliners of a certain caliber. So when you book a guy that's just like starting it out to headline. And by the way, what I'm talking about, this shit took place in like 2015. So when you book somebody that you know doesn't have a bunch of credits, so you know doesn't have a super crazy draw, like, and you know you're fucking underpaying them. Like, I saw them charge Cody for some drinks that fucking weekend. Like, you're charging this nigga for drinks? He's the fucking headliner. Like, we all should be fucking, you know, drinking for free within reason, or like at least well for free in draft. So it's like, when you're doing that, it's like, okay, the responsibility is on you. Fucking paper the room. You coming to the comics and telling them, like, hey, that's just, like, that is the ultimate sign of, like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Especially when you do that with fucking openers. Openers? You're gonna ask openers at a comedy club to bring? Like on a weekend? Like, you must have lost your fucking mind. When you already are basically dangling the carrot in front of the openers, like, hey, could you bring a bunch of people out to Pleasanton on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then we'll maybe let you open for this for fucking Damon Wayans. Maybe we'll let you open for Godfrey, but you're probably just gonna open for somebody that somebody's agent has been shoving down our throats, and we owe them a favor because they got us a good deal on Tommy Davidson. I don't know, whoever the fuck. Anyway, so. That, and then another time I remember Jay Farrow was doing the weekend, and my guy, he quit doing stand-up, but Brian Moore, shout out Brian Moore, he stopped doing stand-up, that nigga happy. Brian Moore was hosting the weekend, and Brian Moore, me and him were like really hanging out a lot at the time, and he's doing the weekend, and me, the homie Corday, and I think some other people were there. We pull up on Brian. He's hosting. Check out Godfrey. We just chilling. Or no, we check out Jay Farrow. We also went when Godfrey was there too. But so then the same lady, the same GM that she had me like fucking host do a host audition for free. She's like, hey, I didn't know you were coming. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm chilling. Cause I'm like, I've already like worked for you, worked 2 weekends for you guys, and I've produced shows for you guys. Like, is it weird? Like, this is comedy club culture. Like, comedians hang out at clubs on nights that they're not booked. And she says to me, let me know next time so I could get you guys like a discount for getting in. I'm like, you fucking you bitches are charging your local cop. You niggas, I really. And that place will never go bankrupt. Like, they stay up because, like, all the comics, like, work the club or, like, fucking. Like, all the comics that want to work there are, like, older and raunchier. And they know they can't. I don't want to say. Well, some of them could. But, like, a lot of them don't have the patience to, like, deal with, like, the system at, like, Punchline and Cobbs and all that. So, they, you know, Tommy T's. And it's more familiar. The openers and the faces on the wall resonate with them more. The drinks resonate with them more than the drinks at the Live Nation venues in San Francisco. So, you know, they gravitate towards Tommy T's. And they're like, well, fuck, I got... You know, and especially, like, the older nigga comedians, like, they started doing stand-up when they was, like, 35, 37, like, later in the game. So, like, they was doing other things. And, like, you know, the older you get, like, it's easier to make money. So they're not like tripping off like, you know, the fucking like rapist pay they give you. God, Tommy T's such a fucking scumbag club. Anyways, but I can relate to something always going wrong when it comes to the Bay. Like, just that concept of, oh man, fucking, it's always something. It's always fucking something. Because part of the fun of coming home isn't just seeing your parents. Because let's face it, they only have so much energy to keep up with you. You know, like, especially as, like, time goes on. Like my mom winds down around 8:30 p.m. Like, she doesn't knock out, but she winds down around 8:30, 9 p.m. You know, maybe 9:30 if she had, like, a nap around 4 or 5 o'clock. So it's like, okay, my mom's winding down. My mom's going to be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go to bed at like maybe like 10:30 during the holidays. And then what? And then what? I'll tell you what. Pure fucking whackness. Because my thing for not wanting to go back is that time during the day when I'm back, or that time, you know, mom's is winding down, chilling. I'm young. I got testosterone. Like, I've had girlfriends that have said I have a chemical imbalance. Shout out to them. I want to go out and do shit. I got energy, right? And when I've been back in the Bay to do things, I've just been on too many whack dates. I've overheard too many lame conversations. I've been on too many lackluster shows. I've dealt with too much hate for that place to be appealing to me. And then the restaurants have gone down. Like, the restaurant, like, Oakland doesn't have one good Italian restaurant. Oakland does not have a good steakhouse. Oakland does not have a good Jamaican spot. And for me, it's like, I'm very bougie, but I'm also very black. So there's nothing to appeal to me in that sense. It's like, all right, well, give me a good steakhouse. Give me a good give me a good Italian spot, right? I could have some nice wine. Don't have that, right? No good Jamaican, no good Nigerian. Like, you know, ugh, so fucking frustrating. And I'm in a place, right, where I feel what I have to offer is just better. So people should see me. If you feel what you got going on is better, make them come to you. And not that, like, and I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm better than my mom or whatever. But I'm just saying, it's like, the world that I live in is just better than what's up there. But if you're gonna, like, if you're gonna do that, where you're like, no, I cannot be over there, this world, this shit is just, and not like my home is better, but, because obviously where my mom lives is more spacious than where I live. But I'm saying the life that I'm, maybe this edible's kicking in, I don't know, but the point is, if you're going to ask people to come to you, you got to live up to the demand. You also got to be a good host. It's certain things, like if you're going to be hosting people in the holidays, it's certain things you got to know how to do. Like a good host knows how to do. A good host knows how to cook, or a good host knows how to order. So it's holiday dinner, Christmas, Thanksgiving, right? 4th of July, right? You don't know how to cook. You do one of those prefix meals. You do some catering shit from some spot. You get the catering orders, and you get all the nice aluminum trays. That's one thing I like about seeing like older rappers' Instagram stories. Like they be having like the fucking catered aluminum trays, and it'll be like a stack of like if you go on like Drake, Joe Budden, like anybody. I know Joe's still a rapper. Yeah, I mean, you know what the fuck I mean. Like you go on any rapper, you go on like any rapper that's like over 35, like they're eating good in their fucking home. But no, you got to do that. You got to have the condiments covered. You got to have all types of hot sauces. You got to have your ketchups. You got to have barbecue sauce. You got to like just be prepared for people to dip and season whatever. That's another part of being a good host in the food department. You got to have a fully stocked fridge. It's got to be fully stocked. Drinks. You got to have your Snapples. You got to have your Capri Suns. You got to have your bottled waters. You got to have your beers. You got to be stocked up with liquor. And you need snacks. See, especially if somebody's bringing kids around. Ain't nobody bringing kids around my spot. But I think Will knows better than that. Yeah, Lyle. I know Lyle don't have a kid-friendly home. You got weed and his gun out. I ain't bringing my fucking biracial ass kids around this nigga. Anyways, no, but it's important to have that, right? Like, I've dated a few women that don't live in LA and are coming from 45 minutes to an hour out. And I asked them, what do you like? Because I'm not coming to where they stay. And I don't want to hear shit about, well, I'm not going to Redondo Beach or Torrance or Long Beach or Thousand Oaks. Like, I don't want, like, well, how come you're not coming out here? Because I'm not, I don't want to fucking go there. Like, I live in LA. Like, this is cooler when you're out there. Because me, like, I got them, because I like bad bitches, but I can't get bad bitches in LA, so I got to import bad bitches from, like, out from, like, smaller townships. Because the bad bitches in, like, Redondo Beach and Torrance and Long Beach and Thousand Oaks and Riverside, like, they tired of all the niggas where they live, but it's like, ooh, wow, he's funny, ha, 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 ha. So then they come out and see me, and I show them a good time. And that's how I get bad bitches in LA. That was a little too honest. I didn't really need... Did y'all need to know that? No, that's part of, like, entertainment. You got to be personable. But I feel like coming back home is more fun in your 20s anyways. And for me, like, because I... Throughout my 20s, I was, like, living... I mean, I would do, like, my little back and forth shit in LA. But, like, throughout my early 20s, I was Bay Area-based. And I would love when the homies would come home from college and we'd turn up, as we literally said. We literally said, yeah, we about to turn up. That J. Cole home for the holidays was so fucking on point. God damn. That was a fucking fun time. Yo, being in your early 20s in Barack Obama's America. Because I see people be like, man, if you was a teen in the 90s, man, who gives a fuck about being a teen in the 90s? You niggas was broke and it was nothing but Michael Jordan. And the best rappers died. Fuck the 90s, nigga. Being in your early 20s when Tinder came out and Uber came out, that was a fucking beautiful time. But yeah, I would love, like, when the homies would come home from college and they pull up to my shows and we'd have drink. Like, one of the funnest... I remember Zinc. It was... Because the homie Zinc is... I'm not going to give our whole backstory. But anyways, he graduated City College. He left like a very fucking he left a very awkward miniature man, and he came back with so much fucking moxie. I remember this is like 2016, we had the time of our life in the fucking mission. Like, if it wasn't for pictures, I wouldn't remember half this. I actually have some pictures somewhere deep on my Instagram because it was like 2015, 2016. But it was, I was like, where are you at? The mission? Oh shit. And he went to Bill Cosby's school, Temple. I would like to know how you got into my school from San Francisco. So in order to get the criteria, you want to go to Temple. You want to wear the colors and you want to... I'm cooning way too hard right now. Anyway, Zink was home from Temple. And I can't even remember the fuck. He may have pulled up on me at a show. I don't know what the fuck happened. I remember we was cooning real hard in the mission. And we was in an Uber pool. And me and Zink was in the back. Then this white boy got in the back with this fine, like... It's black woman. She had like, you know, them black women that like will kind of look that have like Latina energy, like Felicia Rashad. Like Felicia Rashad is a black woman, but it's like, but she has like Latina energy. Like this woman had that. Then at one point, I was like, you just need to sit on my lap. And then she's sitting on my lap. I'm feeling asses. Zeke is just like, yo, this breakup got you fucking wild, my boy. And I'm like, yeah, it does. And that's when like we was really starting to listen to Future too. Like, gonna fuck that nigga, get it over with. And Drake was talking about, like, she's, you know, love pets, but I'm a dog. Yeah, you're. Like, we was, oh my God. I had so much fun being a demon in my mid-20s. Anyways, that was a real fun time. Real wholesome evenings. Like, I would love when the homies would be back home. Where would we go? Doesn't matter. Anyways, coming home in your 30s is sad because you realize what you could have been. And it's sad for me because I know a lot... Well, hold on. Let me go back to Zink real quick. It was really just fun seeing him come home and just being like... Because he was just, like, so fucking, like, you know, like, a young guy. Like, he's a young guy, but he's also short, though, so, like, you just kind of feel like, it's like, hey, man, you good? You good? You need some help, buddy? You need some help? He's like, yeah, I'm good. Then we get back, he's like, hey, bartender! Like, he got that, like, Philly East Coast shit. Like, I'm like... Cause you know, like I'm used to like barrier bartenders who are like the epitome of cunty, and like this is when like you had all these BuzzFeed lists like 800 ways to piss off your server, and then Zink is just like, bartender, excuse me, and then they come over and I'm like, I like that shit, but also like I'm a nigga and he's like Latin-ish, so it's like blackish, he's Latin-ish, so you know he could also get away with that shit more than me, and I'm like, you know, big and tall and he's not, so there's that component too, but I was just like, hell yeah, I just fucking love, like, there's something fun though too, in your 20s, like, your friends go away, and I was off grind. It's not like, okay, I was, like, in the Bay, but it's not like I was a fucking loser. I was still, like, getting money, fucking these bitches, getting these LOLs, don't get it twisted, niggas. Anyways, it's really dope then seeing your friend come back, and you guys are, like, you guys grow, and you're, like, that's a good feeling. It's like, oh shit, you look different. You look different. Man, you look good. You look good. Fuck, I love this. That's fun. But yeah, coming home in your 30s is sad because, like, you may have that you look different thing, but it's not always for the best. It's like, what's up, man? How you living? It's funny, in your 30s, people actually say, you look good, man. You look good. Like, that's something I've noticed as I get older. More people tell me I look good. And I'm not saying I don't believe them. I'm just saying... Don't trust it. But it's sad because you look at certain people, at least for me, like I look at certain people, I'm like, oh God, this is what I could have been. And it's sad for me because I know a lot of losers. Like I know niggas, like it's niggas that I knew and they failed at rap and now they failing at doing podcasts. And they failing at starting their own businesses. And they don't follow me. But they'll look at my stories. And they'll send the stories to their ugly ass co-workers. They sue UC Berkeley. You know, I don't need to be around that type of ashy behavior, you know? It's niggas that never came to a show, but then got the balls to fucking ask me for money. Like, it's just so many fuck. Like, I don't even want to get into these stories. Like, if I do get in these stories, it'll get very ugly if I get in these fucking stories. So, let's just make sure Lyle doesn't get in these fucking stories, bitch! But I grew up in a loser city and I left. So salute to everybody that left. They lose their hometown, they lose their neighborhood, they lose their state, and move somewhere and create a life for themselves in a place where they're not tolerated, but they're celebrated. Because I ain't gonna lie, like, I be looking on my Instagram stories and I see, like, a lot of comics that are, you know, LA based, and I'll see them back home and I'll be jealous. They'll be working at like the improv in their town, or like whatever the A club is in their town. You know, they'll be, you know, I'll see them at a cozy pub. I can tell they about to get them some cozy pussy, you know. They perform at a comedy club where the audience doesn't get butt hurt over everything. You know, and it's like, that seems fucking nice. But you gotta go where you feel good. Especially this time of year, especially as you get older. Life's too fucking short to spend it inside of ungrateful bitches. This is the Let's Unpack That Podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Behrens. Thank you for tuning in to a special Christmas edition of the Let's Unpack That Podcast. I know I'm not consistent, I'm busy, and this shit is free. And I realize it's hard for you guys to, you know, be active regular listeners when I'm not taking the podcast as serious. But, you know, I like to still give you guys something. And, you know, eventually we're going to get this, like, a lot more consistent. I got to figure out a way to do this so I can do all the other things that I want to do. But I appreciate you guys still tuning in and hanging in there with me. We're going to unpack just some Christmas talk. You know, we're going to get into gifts and inflation. We're going to get into Christmas NBA games and best holiday movies, best things to watch during the holidays. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hope I assume most of you, if you guys are traveling, I'm gonna assume that most of you guys are home already. But if you're not, hope you guys have a nice, real safe and sound commute on that plane, on that drive, on that bus. And Merry Christmas to the Lie Hive. We gotta get gifts, but we got inflation. And look, I don't think we need to get everybody gifts, especially men, because nobody cares about us. But look, here's who you get gifts: your parents, your significant other if you got one, a kid if you're dumb enough to have one of those. I'm kidding. It's if you're a man, it's going to be your girl who's dumb enough. I just got me an asshole. It's going to be that. And that should be it. You don't need to get your niece and nephew or anything. You don't need to get points. Stop trying to buy people's love, you know. Only buy gifts if you're in the position to. Look, if you had a good year and you love this podcast and all the free content throughout the years, I have a Venmo. I have a Cash App. My favorite wines are Brown Estate Zinfandel, Tenitu Sanguito, Super Tuscan. I like Sassicaia. I like Height Cellar. Martha's Vineyard Lot Cab, okay? No, I'm just... But look... Well, actually, I'm not joking, because some of the Lie Hive has gifted me with some things. So shout out to y'all. Shout out Hunter. Anyways, but But look, we don't need to gift everybody in a time of inflation and an 80-year-old president. And like I said, especially men, because nobody cares about us. But look, if you're tight for cash, but you love somebody, and not a significant other, I hope, you know, if you're really tight and you guys aren't like living together, it's not like, ah, I know it's been tough. Like, because look, I feel like, you know, if things are too tight, because I feel like having a girlfriend is like something you should be able to afford. Anyways, if you're tight for cash, go practical. Because the best gifts I've gotten as an adult have been practical. Like, I remember... Hold on one second. I remember... This was like... 2013. 2013 was a decent year. I was running a bunch of shows. Laugh City was like, you know, coming up. Excuse me. Oh, by the way, real quick, I always tell you what I'm drinking. I'm drinking a Moroni della Valpolicella 2018. Cecilia Beretta. You can find this at Trader Joe's for about $22. This is nice. Valpolicella is an Italian grape. Pairs wonderfully with spicy foods. You know, if you got yourself a nice arrabbiata. You know, not something like crazy spicy, like, you know, the Bulldog instant noodles, not, or Nashville hot chicken, but something with like a nice, with like, or, and, you know, not like a habanero. But say something like maybe Fresno pepper level hot. Maybe like a little light jalapeno hot. This would pair well with it. Or, you know, you got some with some chili flakes on it. Because, you know, when it comes to spicy food, the wine people will tell you to go to is Riesling. But I like red wine. So this is, not that I'm eating spicy food right now, but that's just like an advice for a pairing. But yeah, this has real nice notes of red fruit. If you grab that at your local Trader Joe's. Thank me later. Because there are some wines that I like that are not for like, you know, people that are not into wine. But then there are some wines like this that I like where I'm like, yeah, it's fruity, it's velvety, it's fucking nice. Anyways, so 2013, I was running a bunch of shows, and one thing that I had trouble with is, you know, keeping track of who was there for the show, who paid who and who didn't pay, because, you know, we was grinding, we was getting it, and my girlfriend at the time, she found the Laugh City logo, like, obviously on, like, my Facebook or some shit, and she cropped the logo, she sent it to some online company, and then she got, and then she gifted me a stamp with all, like, the, because if you've seen the Laugh City logo, there's, like, the, it's the cityscape. It's a skyline of San Francisco within it. Shout out Kiko Breeze, who designed it. Shout out Uncle Kiko. But yeah, she did that, and she got the stamp, and then we used it for. It may still be in my mom's house, but yeah, you used that for many, many years. I'm gonna have to get a new one. But that was a gift that's like, I'm gonna say, out of all the girlfriends that have got me gifts, I'm gonna say that's probably my favorite one, because it was like, it had to do with the business, and it was just, and out of all the girlfriends I've had, she's probably taken my comedy career like the least serious, but it was just fucking, she was a bitch. But anyways, no, that was like a really, really fucking nice gift. Thoughtful gifts, I think, are the way to go, because, I mean, getting like a custom-made stamp, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't expensive. Why am I saying that like I know what she paid for? But practical gifts are great for people that take too long to fix shit that's wrong. Because I'm one of those people where I like to think I have my shit together, and I do. But there's certain, like, little things. So it's like, ah, it'll be fine. Ah, it'll be fine. Like, I was one of those people, and she got me that gift because she would see, like, for years, especially when I was younger, I would have a suitcase with a damaged wheel, and it would take me fucking forever to get it. Like, I would, like, have 3-4 years with a suitcase with a damaged wheel. I'd be like, well, what's the matter? I'm picking it up anyways. What's it? And it's like, no, you don't want to have a damaged wheel in your fucking suitcase. Get a new suitcase and get the shit fixed. And obviously, it's people don't want to go find, like, the luggage repair. It's much easier just to get a new suitcase. But, you know, it's also easy, but also not easy. It's having a fucking broken suitcase, a suitcase with a broken wheel. The best gifts I've gotten have been practical because I'm too lazy to handle that shit gifts. And then the other best gifts are thanks for the good dick and putting up with my bullshit gifts. Like $300 Jordans, video game. I don't play video games. I'm just giving an example. Like video games, some sort of man starter kit gift. Like, you know, like, remember the starter kit memes? Like if you give, like, you know, you give a nigga, like, an expensive bottle of whiskey or cognac, with some nice glassware, cigar, just anything that's, like, bad for you. Or it could help you get bitches, you know, like throw in like a $150 bottle of cologne, like shit that just like, oh, this will help me be like a fucking demon captain of industry. Like you just walk around fucking smelling like Tony Soprano. Like that's like a real good, like, you know, thanks for the good dick. Stay your toxic self. I've had some girls give me some gifts like that. I remember I once had a girlfriend. Her parents bought me a pair of LeBrons for Christmas. And I just remember feeling guilty when I got those shoes. Because I was like, holy shit. They think I'm gonna marry this bitch. good times. Those are the two best gifts, though, for significant others, though. Is the real, not just practical, but the like, hey, I thought of you, this will help you. That gift. And then the like, thank you so much. You fucked me so good. Like that type of gift. That type of, like those, like, gifts that make you feel like you're, like, way better at sex than you are. Like, so. You know, but I think gifts can reveal a lot in a relationship, in any relationship. I think gifts reveal a lot. Like, I dated one girl, and looking back at our gifts, it said a lot about what we wanted out of each other and how we felt about each other. Because her gift said, I do everything for you. See, now you do everything for me. And my gift said, here, bitch, I love you. Now leave me the fuck alone. Like, she would get me, like, the nice shoes, the dope clothes. And not just, like, clothes that she thought I looked good in, but, like, clothes that I'll be like, yeah, I like that, I like that. And, like, she would kind of, but, like, not exactly what I told, not like I was like, hey, get me this. Like, she would, like, get stuff that she would get me clothes. Cause here's the thing, if your bitch gonna dress, like, I know Future said, like, never let a bitch dress me. Your bitch should dress you, but to where you can still get bitches. If your bitch is dressing you where you can't get other hoes, she ain't dressing you right. That's what I say. But she would get me clothes where I can still get other bitches. Wine that I'm too scared to tell you the price. You know, she'd send me cash. You know, shit that was like, well, not like too good for Lyle, because nothing's too good for Lyle, but she got things that were like statement purchases. Like, I'm making a statement by getting you this. Like, there's certain things that where you can, It's like, and this isn't like we've heard stories about this. It's like it'd be like a stepdad that wanted to show up, like the biological dad that's still in the picture, but say the stepdad is like, yeah, I'm gonna get your kids this fucking, I'm thinking about my childhood, the 90s. I'm gonna get your kids this little, you know, them like little electric mini cars that kids could get into, and they was like driving their own little mini ATV. Yeah, I'm gonna get your kid one of those. Yeah, basketball hoop. Yeah, what else? PlayStation, N64. And then and you know the biological dad can't fucking keep up with that. And it's like saying a fuck you to the biological dad. And a lot of fights have started over shit like that. Why am I saying but? Because you only say biological dad for like a nigga that's not in the picture. Like, I should say dad and then stepdad. I never had no stepdad, so this isn't me projecting, just so you guys know. I think it's clear I didn't have a stepdad, because if anybody has single parent household written all over them, it's fucking Lyle Behrens. Shout out my mom, she did a great job. No, but she would do these statement purchases, and I would do like, all right, Adidas gift card. She like Adidas, $200 ought to do it. Like, I would do shit like, all right, gift card for, all right, yeah, here's a gift card for this airlines. I would just gift card it out and be like, do with it what you will. And both things I just said speak for themselves. So if you have a significant other, and this is, say, like round 3 or 4 of gifts, like you guys did birthdays, Valentine's Day, now you at Christmas, I would just say keep an eye on how you guys get gifts for each other. Because I really think that speaks a lot. Because I think the gifts we give are a reflection of what the person means to us and how we love them. Like, one thing I notice is when I get gifts from my mom, I often get her like art supplies. Because my mom, like, she's like a really good, talented artist. And I think it's because I want her to create. And maybe that's part of my love language. Like, my love language is art. And not like I'm like, so for your birthday, I'm going to give you a personal stand-up comedy performance. Like, I would never do that shit. Like, I'm gonna read a poem and sing a song. Doesn't that just sound like an unbearable person? No, okay, so my mom, right? I remember I got flown out and put up in Maui 2 times because I'm a fucking winner. You know, me talking about home earlier has me a little on the defensive. So me saying that was not me saying that to you, the listener. That was me saying that to my ops, because I got ops that listen to this podcast, believe it or not. They write me. It's fucking crazy. Nah, man, but so I got flown out to Maui, first time 2016, second time was 2018 I was flown out, and I said to my mom, so like, why don't you come with me? So mom comes out to Maui, and she gets to see me perform, fun time, and this is also like kind of rough because like she actually had broke her arm when she was in San Diego. Over like on the fucking she tripped on like their little monorail system, their little transit system, and she had to get surgery for everything. This was a whole thing. So anyway, so she's in Hawaii, she got a cast on, and it's like, you know, you can't really get in the water like that, so you go all the way to Hawaii but you can't get in the water. Like, it fucking sucks, you know. But like, I'm trying to be like, hey, we could have Mai Tais, we could have poke. And then I was feeling all guilty when she'd watch me, like, swim and then just, you know, whatever. But, so then we got the news that her mom died. My grandma. And that just really just sucked the life out of, you know, the whole trip. As it should have. And it was rough. Fast forward. You know, I was just thinking about, like, that night when that happened. My friend, Ted Anderson, who's, he just produced a TV show based in Maui. You guys, I don't know how to say the name of it. Just, I don't want to poke. He produced a TV show. He's also a comedian and funny guy, talented dude. And the night that happened, he said, dude, bring your mom over here. Bring her over here. We get like a bunch of poke from Foodland. And he's just like, no, that'll be good for her. Be around some family. And she's around like the dog. She's around his lovely wife and daughters. And that was just like a real good, that like really had me being like, man, that is the spirit of aloha in Hawaii. That is, you know, there's certain, like earlier on this pod, I said, I get demonic energy from Oakland. Then there's places where I get, like, good energy. Like, I get good energy out of Maui. I get good energy out of certain places. You know, I was going to start naming the places, but you could be like, this nigga just want to be on vacation. Like, I actually need to think about, before I think about places where I get good energy and demonic energy. Anyways. So needless to say, like, the rest of that trip was like a bust, you know. So in about a year later, my mom's like, you know what? I wanted to have a good trip in Maui. I wanted to get in the water. I wanted to do these things. I'm going to go to Maui again. And I'm like, good for you, mom. You go. You go. Good for you, mom. And what I did was, my mom, she got herself like a nice Airbnb. And she had herself the good meals, and she, like, met a bunch of cool people around, and it's always some white dude trying to flirt with my mom, you know, because she's, like, a very reserved, chocolatey woman, so, you know, that's going to attract some white men, that's going to attract some rambunctious white men. Anyways, so she's out there having a good time, and I gifted her on her Get Right Maui trip. I gifted her. I hit up my mom. I was like, hey, so I got something for you. It's a surprise. This is where you need to be. And I gave her an address. She's like, okay. I'm like, but you need to be here by this time. She's like, okay. And what it was it was an art class. And I got, it was like a, it was called Island Art Party, which she apparently had a real good time. So if you're into art and you're ever in Maui, check out Island Art Party. And I got it. It's funny. I'm like looking at the emails now. I was like, this is a gift for my mom, blah, blah. I'm looking at it. And I said, I'm like, can you charge it to my card, blah, blah, blah. And then she followed up. She's like, hope your mom had fun. And then, and this was, I got to look at the emails so you guys could. So this was of September 2019 that my mom came back. Right, September 2019 that my mom did this. February of 2020, you know, before the world shut down, I get an email from the lady that runs the fucking Island Art Party, and the heading of the email is your mom okay? I was like fucking Hank Hill when I got it. I was like, is your mom okay? And then she said, hi Lyle, your mother left her painting at Island Art Party and was going to pick it up when she came back to visit in January, but we didn't see her. I'm like, wait. People in Hawaii, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, God bless them. They're a little nutty. They're a little nutty, right? Because it's like, wait, so you... You realize, like, this isn't her being like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back to fucking Lake Tahoe, and it's just it's a long-ass windy drive. This isn't her, like, being like, yeah, I'll go back to Sacramento. Like, this is the same, like, going from California, going from, like, a coastal city in California to Hawaii is the same distance as going to fucking New York City. Okay, it's not just she said she was gonna pick it up. Like you'd actually hold somebody to their word on that you don't know. Like that's first off, and second of all, like the email headline is "Your mom okay?" question mark. It's like I felt like it was this episode of The Office when Michael hit Meredith with his car on accident, and he said, "I have some news. Meredith was hit by a car. She went to the hospital. The doctors did everything they could. And she's going to be okay." And then Stanley goes, "What's wrong with you wording it like that?" That's how I felt when I saw that email. Like, what's wrong with you wording it like that? Is your mom okay? Like, because she didn't get... And by the way, let's say my mom wasn't okay. Why would you fucking say that like this? I was about to say her name. I don't want to say her name. I already said the name of the business. But, like, why the fuck would you send that? Like, oh, my God. That's the thing. Like, people in O'Malley, like, they're really nice, but they are very fucking nutty. Christmas NBA games. That was always, like, a piece of Christmas that always got me excited. But I got to tell you, the in-season tournament made me care less about Christmas NBA games. And I think it also made me realize the denial that I've been in about Christmas NBA games. Because it used to be, right? And when I say used to be, I mean like up until we experienced the in-season tournament, you know, about a month ago or whatever it's been. It used to be Christmas games were the in-season main event until the playoff race started. But now between the in-season tournament and the play-in games, I'm good. I honestly don't even really think we need an All-Star game anymore. Unless, like, because Chris Paul said, like, one of the problems with the All-Star game is, like, you know, you don't really warm up the same way you do a regular NBA game. And it's kind of more of like this big show production. So some of the same stuff guys have, you know, been saying for years. Look, I think it's hard to have good Christmas games. It's hard to have, let me not say good. I think it's hard to have entertaining Christmas games considering for what the day is, because you need those rivalries, you know, or you need a rematch of a playoff series that got chippy or went to seven games. And, you know, playoff series that go to seven games often do get chippy. Or you need an NBA Finals rematch if it was close. Like we don't need an NBA Finals because it wasn't close with Miami and Denver, you know. Phoenix and Milwaukee was fun, but, I mean, you know, we didn't need a rematch of that on Christmas either. I think the problem is they give us too much. They give us too much with the NBA Christmas games. Cause especially just for, like, the amount of stuff that we're doing. Because, like, there's always the Knicks game that starts way too early where they play Philly or Boston almost always. Maybe they'll play, I don't know, Brooklyn's good. They may play Brooklyn. But they're typically playing, like, a Northern Atlantic team. Then there's the, it doesn't matter if they're good games. Because look, we did not need to see the Lakers play on Christmas in 2017. We did not need to see sophomore D'Angelo Russell, sophomore Julius Randle, rookie Lonzo Ball, and Brandon Ingram play on Christmas Day. We didn't need to fucking see that shit. I think they played the Clippers. Of all the times the Knicks have played on Christmas, we probably need, since 2004, we'll call it, like, you know, 20 years, we maybe probably needed to see them three times per decade, right? Like, okay, there's when Melo was there, the Julius Randle resurgence. I don't even want to say resurgence. I just want to say, like, they just resembled a decent NBA team again. You know, outside, like we didn't need to see the Knicks that many times. makes me think of when Charles Barkley was like, I mean, the problem is with showing the Lakers and the Knicks is like, because they in LA and New York, we got to keep showing them, but they suck. I love fucking Charles Barkley. As long as he doesn't talk about real issues, I fucking love him. And honestly, some of the Christmas games have been like all-star games. Like, where you could just tell guys can't wait to get on vacation. You could tell guys can't wait to get with their families or they mistresses, you know? Like, it's... I mean... Because, look, it's only so many times you can really just have that, like, epic... Because, look, the NBA Christmas games where it was Cleveland, Golden State, it was beautiful. But anyways, here's how we fix the Christmas NBA games. One. Make it in Las Vegas. How about Hawaii? Those preseason games, you know, that they are doing Hawaii at the university in Honolulu, and it'd typically be like a West Coast team. That should look fun, you know? Have a game in the Bahamas. Some place that the players actually want to be. A place where they can bring their family. A place where they look like they're having fun. Because, you know, like, one of the reasons the tournament was great? Because those guys seem happy to be in Las Vegas. And, you know, like, and it's fun, too. Like, you know, before the game in the tournament, like, you started seeing... Because, you know, they're trying to get, like, the public used to Vegas having an NBA team. They're trying to get used to Las Vegas, what it's going to be like for them to have an NBA team. Like, they're teasing the city. But, you know how, like, you see those shots outside the arena? Like, you'll be, like, Or like, just outside the city. Like, it could be, like, you know, Lakers playing whoever, and you'll see some shots of, like, the Santa Monica Pier, some shots of downtown LA outside Crypto. You know, same thing if the Bucks are, like, whatever team it is. Wouldn't it be nice to just see, like, the blue water, some beaches, some tropical beaches with an NBA game? I feel like that'd be fun, you know? Because, like, just seeing that blue water on Christmas and then seeing, like, I don't know, LeBron or Kawhi or Steph Curry, like, you know, with the lay on, see them get interviewed on the beach. Like, that should be fun. Two, give us three games instead of five. They give us too much. We're cooking, we're drinking, we're eating, we're getting sad, we're meeting up with friends at a bar later or a day house. Like, just give us three games. That there's only so much we can care about. Just give us three games, and then we'll see which one is going to be the better one. Number three, this contradicts my number one. Make guys play in a shitty cold town, and they bring that just disgruntled intensity to the court. Every Warriors and Cavs Christmas game should have been in Cleveland. Motherfuckers should be angry. You know, fuck the Pistons. Like, just play in their arena. Let the city see what two real NBA teams look like live. Like, at the play of the Blazers, it's like, I'm not with my family. This is fucking bullshit. We're fucking working on Christmas. What the fuck? Like, I have them angry. I feel like you get, like, a really good game. So the games this year. Here are my predictions for the Christmas games this year. Bucks over Knicks. The Bucks have only lost six games. The flight isn't that long. And I feel like the Milwaukee Bucks, like the guys really matter on that team. I feel like they're going to be happy to be in New York City. Brooke Lopez, he played in Brooklyn. He played in L.A. He's fucking from... Brooke Lopez is from Hollywood. It's weird seeing a high school in Hollywood. Like, I lived in Hollywood. It's right by, like, the worst In-N-Out I've ever been to. The worst In-N-Out I've ever been to is in Hollywood. This one girl... First girl I was fucking when I moved to L.A., she was like, by the way, just so you know, that's like the most ghetto In-N-Out. I'm like, okay, don't know if I'm crazy about using that word. And I went to it, and I'm like, oh, I get it. She's right. No, but so Brooke Lopez gotta love being like in a big city again. Giannis, he fucking loves America. He fucking loves our shit. Giannis is not like, you know, Giannis is the complete opposite of Jokic, where Jokic is just like, I cannot wait to go home, tired of playing stupid game. Giannis is like, I had chicken nugget, it was delicious, and now I am ready to try a Philly cheesesteak. I love this exotic food. Like, he's you know what Giannis is like? Giannis is like fucking Hakeem and coming to America. I am very happy to be here. But yeah, Giannis loves America. New York is just a big shopping mall of America. Dame gotta love New York because, you know, like, you can tell Dame loves New York by how he raps, because he doesn't rap like a nigga from the Bay. Like, it's not like Dame is like, "Hey, Dame Dollar, shot collar, pop my collar, let me know if you wanna holler." You know, Dame gonna be pulling up to MSG, bumping Shook Ones Part 2. You know, like, he's gonna record a freestyle over like Jay-Z's public service announcement. "Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Dame, D-O-double-L to the A. I used to play," and whatever. I'm not a rapper, but you know, you get it. I got Bucks over Knicks. Nuggets beat Warriors. The altitude has always been a problem for teams. Then on top of that, it's the winter out there. I've got a prospect that lives in Denver right now, and she's telling me, she's like, I gotta put chains on my tires, or tires on my chains, or what the fuck those snow apes do. No, man, but it's the cold, the altitude, no Draymond. Even like, if, you know, I don't do all that plus minus analytic shit, but just Draymond was like, you know, a spirit in there, and then Chris Paul's also a big personality, so like, between and then now they're having to get used to Chris Paul being like the alpha in the room over Draymond. Like, that's gonna be a little fucking weird for them. And also, like, the Warriors are the 1999 Houston Rockets right now, where it's like, Scotty still had like another all defensive team left in him. You know, if they did the All-Star game in 99, Hakeem might have made it. Charles Barkley was still filling out a stat sheet. But they was fucking washed. They had nothing left in the tank, you know? Well, that's not fair to Steph Curry. It's more like, the Warriors are more like, if Michael Jordan stayed with the Bulls for the 1999 season. That's kind of more what the Warriors are like right now. Because I'm sure Michael would have, like, filled out a stat sheet and looked beautiful and, you know, been all these things that he is, just like Steph Curry is right now. Not that I'm comparing Michael to Steph. This is well, you know, if you're too fucking stupid to get it and you're taking it literally, turn off this fucking podcast. You're a fucking idiot. Anyways, I got the Nuggets. Also, fun fact about Christmas in Jokic, Serbia, is a home country of Serbia. In Serbia, Christmas is celebrated for 3 days. On the second day of Christmas, neighbors visit each other. On the third day, a Christmas straw is taken out of the house. Little bundles are made with it and hung on the fruit trees to make their fruit better. So, playing on Christmas, Jokic will probably be like, "I have 2 more days for Christmas and 122 days until I see my horses again." He's funny. Look, I got LA over Boston, and this is not Laker bias. This is me seeing how Bron put on a show in Vegas, okay? At the tournament games in Vegas, right? At the tourney, he was like a fucking entertainer with it. He was like an entertainer with it, like a real showman with it. kind of like how like magic or AI was, where it's like, yo, this is, where it's like you see them and it's like, you know, AI was like a mediocre rapper. Magic Johnson was like really bad when he hosted his talk show. If you guys ever want to just like nerd out, like get high, put on the Magic Hour when Magic Johnson had a show, had a talk show, like after he retired the second time. It's rough. Like, he could command the court, but not a crowd. But it's like, they play so good, it's like, you kind of like, yo, could AI maybe have been, like, as big as, like, Jadakiss, at least? Yo, could Magic host a TV show? Like, there's these certain, like, guys will just be a certain way with it, where it's like, they can be like, yeah, I mean, like, Michael Jordan is in Space Jam because he's, like, the biggest fucking athlete ever. But LeBron being in Space Jam 2 was, like, partly that, but also, like, yo, this good guy can maybe do something. Anyways, like, it's that. I think the Celtics will be very happy to be in L.A. Yes, they have only lost 6 games so far this season. And Lakers will coast probably until, like, mid-February. But I've talked myself into a Laker win already, so we just got to go with that. Philly beats Miami. I'm split on this one because Joel's, you know, having an MVP season so far. I also think Joel Embiid is upset about Giannis and Jokic being champions and him not seeing a finals series yet. Because Jimmy already done saw too. But I never rule out Heat culture. But I just think Philly beats Miami, because I think Embiid's like, I think he's like good sports angry. Dallas over Phoenix. I just don't like this Phoenix team. The lack of depth. I just don't believe in them. I might next year if they move Beal for more pieces and cap space, but not, I just don't believe in them. I just got Dallas. All right. Best holiday watches. So here's a list of things I like to watch to get me in the Christmas spirit, or I just like having on in the background for Christmas spirit. 8 things, because we get into, like, people like getting into like what's the best Christmas movie? I think it's like, it's got to be stuff where it's like you feel there's some familiarity to it. But it's like, it's also got to be accessible. It's also like, no, this is also good when it's not Christmas. So number one on the list, 1990s Simpsons Christmas episodes. I feel those are the fucking best. I mean, 90s Simpsons is like, it's like McDonald's in the 90s was so much better. I think it's because, like, they also put, like, I heard they, like, used, like, animal fat on the fries back in the 90s, and they stopped doing that now. Now it's, like, vegetable oil. But, yeah, 90s Simpsons was just, like, I'll go back and, like, watch 90s Simpsons episodes. I'm like, this is some of the best shit ever. Number two, Goodfellas. The post-Lufthansa heist. That was Christmas time. That was Christmas time in the movie. Oh, I got a new coat. Oh, it's that time of the year. I want to say even before the Lufthansa heist. I am having so much fucking trouble with that word. After they stole the shit from the airport. or even before they stole the shit from the airport. I want to say there's some Christmas in that movie. Number three, Home Alone. Goat tier movie for 90s kids. Number four, Sopranos Christmas episodes is something about same reason for the. I mean, I watch more Sopranos than I do Simpsons, but the Simpsons had like a good run in my life. Like, the Simpsons were in my life from like probably like 1995, 1996 to about 2003, 2004. And then, I don't know, it's just like the show probably should have ended. If it was like a human cast, the show would have ended, but, you know, because it's animation. Anyways, something about these people, like, every day in your life, but then you see, like, Christmas around it. There's something nice about that. Especially, like, a show you watch regularly. It's like, oh, hey, these are my friends. And The Wire, like, they had some Christmas on the show, but they never really did. You never really felt the Christmas on there, so, you know, they can't make it. Number 5, Bad Santa. I fucking really, like, we got... Can I tell you, it still feels kind of weird that Bernie Mac's dead. Because Bernie Mac just felt like... Bernie Mac almost kind of felt like a Samuel Jackson or a Snoop Dogg, where you just kind of felt like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be in my life for like the next, you know, 40 to 50 years. And I'm just going to, or maybe like 28 to 30 years, but it's going to be so many movies, so many TV shows, so many award shows, where you're going to feel like he was with you way longer than he was. That he was just a guy that I just felt like. And then, you know, you had John Ritter that was there too. That was like, you know. John Ritter was there. I was like, oh. I remember when John Ritter died. VH1 had a song about it. Oh, why? Because a guy like John Ritter died? My pop culture brain just remembers the most random fucking things. It's like, it's a fucking sickness at this point. Oh, God, this edible's doing numbers. No, but Bad Santa's fucking funny. It's got like a bunch of shit that we just... I love those comedies where it's like, yeah, we couldn't do this now. And, I mean, there's some stuff where it's like... Where it's like, you know, when you hear, like, you know, racial slurs, homophobic slurs, you know, people saying a retard, like, it's like, ooh, it's a little rough. You know, and not that, like, I think, like, you know, a movie should be edited or canceled because, like, we laughed at some shit in a different time. Like, I think it's, like, it should be preserved to as a good compass for what the times were like. But I'm just, well, we obviously know how the fuck I feel. Like, it's like, yeah, nigga, you still talk like that. But the point being, though, is There are like certain comedies where, and dramas for that matter, where it's like, oh yeah, that didn't age well. And Bad Santa's got some shit that didn't age well, but that's kind of where it's just like, ooh, this is just, I just fucking love living in this fucking politically incorrect, ignorant. Also, the fact they're in Arizona, which is just like a fucking dumb state, fucking perfect. And by the way, some of my favorite crowds that I perform for have been in Arizona, Tucson, and Scottsdale. Number 6, Friday After Next. It's not one of the stronger Friday movies, but look, you got... Mike Epps is so fucking underrated. I don't know what to tell you. Cat Williams is good in it, but you got Terry Crews in one of his first big roles, but dude, my... Oh, man, Mike Epps is a motherfucking man. I fucking love that. I fucking love Mike Epps. Number 7, Barbershop. What if we put Mike Epps in Barbershop? Well, Barbershop have been... Well, no, you had Cedric the Entertainer in it. And I feel like that would... Because you needed those... Because, like, with the Ice Cube... Because Ice Cube's best movies are kind of like hood fairy tales. You look at Ice Cube's best movie. Like, I was actually watched All About the Benjamins last night, and I was like, "Yo, this shit is good." This shit is like, there's like All About the Benjamins. I'm not like really on the Bad Boys Island like other guys, but Out of Time with Denzel. Something about like a black dude in Miami trying to like chase something down. Like, give me a charismatic black dude, colorful T-shirt. In Miami, near the Keys, maybe. Let's fucking go. Anyways, yeah, Barbershop. Number 9, number 8, King of the Hill Christmas episodes. For the same reasons for Sopranos and 90 Simpsons episodes. Just something, again, it's like hanging with your friends, you know?
Now, we need to make sure the tree is up to standardized length. Blah.
Okay, Dad. Oh, yeah. Hey, Hank. Like, it's fun hanging out with them. So I knew a Jew broad, right? Then she told me that during Passover, she watched Godfather to, like, you know, distract herself and her community. I say it like, you know, she was playing it for never mind. No, but she's like, yeah, watching like the Godfather would help with the fast. And that makes perfect sense, you know. And I'm gonna throw the Godfather in there on that list. Maybe we could throw the Godfather in at number 9. I'd like to throw in the Godfather there because I like the idea of Godfather movies 1 and 2 during Christmas, especially if you're cooking something low and slow. Say you're making, you know, you're braising some short rib or oxtail. Say you got on gumbo. You making a marinara sauce from scratch. Having on a long, epic movie you can jump in and out of is perfect. Because with TV, you're going to want to rewind, you know. But like with an old or old-ish movie, it's perfect. You can just jump in, jump out. And what you don't watch on fucking Christmas is the news. TV shows you regularly watch, or movies with zero Christmas in it. You need some fucking Christmas in your movies on Christmas Day. And you know what? I'm going to say, I don't like this thing of like it, that people have where it's like Christmas Day is over, gotta take the lights down. And no, fuck that. It's a spirit. Like, this isn't fucking Halloween where it's an excuse for like sluts to dress how they wish they really could. Okay? This is people's innocence. This is people's childhood. Like, leave the fucking lights up, man. Like, wait till like December 29th, 30th to take the shit down. But yeah, man, you can't watch the fucking news on Christmas Day. Like, if you're gonna celebrate Christmas, celebrate Christmas. Don't put anything around you that's kind of gonna fuck up your day. You know one reason I was so like fucking hard on Oakland earlier? Well, I mean, well, we fucking know. Nah, man, but it's like on my YouTube algorithm, I want it to give me some Bay Area news items just because I'm like, you know, my mom's there and I just want to make sure, you know, everything's. And, you know, not just my mom. I got like other friends and people that I care about in Oakland and San Francisco and, you know, in Richmond. It was a story. It just fucked me up. It was this dude. And I actually lived by this 7-Eleven. This 7-Eleven is kind of by Lake Merritt and right by the Whole Foods. I lived out there during the pandemic. And it was a security guard at the 7-Eleven. Long story short, somebody was like fucking with some shit. He told him to stop. And he got shot in the head. Died. And there's news footage of his daughter on the ground, like kneeling, you know, on her knees, crying, screaming, nobody going to comfort her, nobody going to hold her. And that just fucked me up. Like, damn, nobody's out fucking holding her right now. She should be fucking held. And eventually, like, the news anchor doing the story, you know, went over. And that's kind of like news anchors, there's a certain sort of like, you know, I mean, worked for Anderson Cooper when he, you know, with Hurricane Katrina. But, you know, there is a thing of you don't want to do emo journalism. You want to have a certain sort of neutral whatever. But I don't say this. I know it's a little taboo. That can be looked at as taboo in that field. But no, he went over. And the thing that she said that fucked me up was she said, "And my mom's dead, too." And she said she cried. And that just is like, goddamn. So yeah, man. Yeah, I'm not gonna be fucking looking at the news. I feel bad for people where it's like they got relatives or like looking at like the news during the holidays. Like, imagine walking in a room and seeing an old man with like Fox News or MSNBC on the TV when you're supposed to be around family. Like, that sounds like hell. Yes, like let your... Oh, I don't want to let my mind rot watching people play pretend and dress up. No, sometimes you need to... Don't think about it rotten. Think of it as manure, and it's helping you grow. Okay? Think of it like that. This has been the Let's Unpack That podcast. I've been your host, Lyle Behrens. Thank you very much for tuning in to a special Christmas episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys enjoy your Christmas. If you listen to this after your Christmas and you're on your commute, I hope you enjoy your commute back home. Hope you well. Hope the family's good. Hope the food was good. Hope the food's gonna be good. I always hope the food's good. You always gotta hope the food's good. This food is life, nigga. Anyways, I love y'all. Merry Christmas.